Good morning. Good morning. Let's give the choir another round of applause for that rendition. That's what faith is for. You know, I was in the back and Dr. Clara came in and she said, you know, time really flies. And I said, yeah, you know, the longer we're here, the faster it goes. But I was thinking the same thing before I arrived because as I look back through my notes, I realize that today, or this month, today is my 1 year anniversary. Did y'all know that? I spoke for the first time in December last year here at Guidance Church. So I looked and said, wow, time flies when you're having fun. And I just wanted to take another opportunity to thank you for welcoming me and inviting me and continuing to invite me. You know, don't forget about the brother. You know, so I'm here once again, and our subject for this month is celestial light. And when you think of that term celestial, you think of it as something that's heavenly. Something that is godlike, something that is the utmost of spiritual significance. But that term is also used to describe things that are not of this particular realm, things from outer space, things that are not confined by earthly limitations. And today we associate that word celestial with an inner light that is supremely good, a light that brought all that there is and all that there ever will be into existence, a light that reflects all that is good, all that is perfect, and all that is complete, a light that awakens us to our truth, a light that illuminates our pathway, a light that guides us through our challenges. The celestial light is the power and presence of God within each and every one of us. The celestial light, as was pointed out in one of our readings, ignites all creation. A light that highlights the spiritual attributes that creation has to embrace in order for it to continue to evolve and become greater and greater. These attributes, they correspond with the nature that ensures our salvation. You see, that celestial light is also the Word of God. Now, when I say the Word of God, I'm not speaking of the Word that I'm delivering to you today. Because everything that is in this book is considered to be the Word of God, handed down generation after generation after generation, translated through many languages, and presented as something that God inspired man to say to you. The Word of God goes a little deeper than that. The Word of God that illuminates our pathway not only directs us, but that Word of God corrects us, that Word of God also protects us, and ultimately that very Word is what resurrects us. You see, God speaks through us, through intuitive impressions that motivates and encourages us to express the truth of our being. That intuitive source that I speak of is that celestial light. In that very scripture, St. John, the first chapter and first verse, says, in the beginning, there was only the Word of God. And if you move down to the fourth verse, it says something that relates to our message today. It says, the life was in him. The life is the light of men. And darkness does not, will not, and cannot overcome that light. And if you continue in the New Testament all the way to the first epistle of John, again, the first chapter and the very first verse, it says, from the beginning,
The one we have seen and touched is the word of life. The one we have seen and touched, meaning the one we have imagined and the one we have manifested as our life, is the word of God. Verse 5, in relation to our topic, God is light, and in him there is absolutely no darkness. These are new testimonies that derived from intellectual men who became infused with the love, the grace, and the mercy of Christ. They reflect the original thought of God before we lost our way, some say. I like to say before we decided we were going to do it our way. You see, that first chapter of Genesis, the very first words from this book, the very first action, the original activity of mind that reveals God's vision, the ultimate desire for our life, which is a life eternal. That very first action was, let there be light. A celestial light for all creation to follow. Light reveals the evidence of good and a wonderful experience that is your never-ending expression of life. It is that declaration of light that gave impression and expression to all things. Genesis, the first chapter. Unlike popular belief, it has nothing to do with a physical manifestation. That first chapter is just a divine contemplation revealing the attributes and the elements of a spiritual universe that reveals our spiritual nature. You see, chapter 1 reveals the conscious thought would manifest as the material world in chapter 2. I'm going to read to you the first 5 verses. Now, everybody in here is more than familiar with the first book and the first chapter. Y'all can probably quote it without me reading it. But I want it to be top of mind. God created the heaven and the earth in the very beginning. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning. That was the first day. There was nothing but darkness, the book says. Darkness, which means a lack of understanding. And that lack of understanding is what causes all of our trials and our tribulations. But then spirit, that great mind, that great intelligence of God, says it moved upon the face of the water. Now I always get puzzled about that one, because it just said there was nothing but darkness. So where did the water come from? Spirit recognized the potential. Spirit had a great vision to imagine a divine creation. So it said, let there be light. Let there be a celestial light of intelligence and understanding and of wisdom and of love. And he called this idea day. And day represents our spiritual understanding. The night is that human understanding that made you decide to do it your way. Then it tells us that God separated the light from the darkness. He did that because he knew that a spiritual consciousness becomes clear when it's separated from the waste and void of your ignorance. He said that first day, that first step, that first degree, that first attribute, that first ingredient of spiritual enfoldment was a state of mind in which spiritual intelligence can dominate. That's your celestial light. These days that this book refers to, you know, we invented time, and I'm sure that God knows nothing about a seven-day week and a calendar and 12 months of the year. And, you know, so those days that have been translated to us could mean eons and eons of time. But what those days do signify, that first day was light. That second day was firmament, which is the faith that you all possess today. The third day, they say it was land and sea, but that's the ability for us to imagine something physical that comes out of this spiritual desire for an eternal creation. The fourth day was the sun and the moon and the stars, which represents our understanding and our intellect. The fifth day was the fish and the fowl, which represents our fair judgment. The sixth day was the beast and you, the man, the animal life, in which we were given dominion over. And then on the seventh day, it says that God did something that most of us need to do more of. Let God and let go, I should say, and let God do what it do. On that seventh day, he rested. On that seventh day, he allowed the patterns of that were mentally formed universe to evolve as they would. You see, before there can be a physical expression, there must be spiritual understanding. There must be a celestial light. You must spiritually embody a thing before you can manifest anything. You cannot create a new life for yourself unless you create a new thought of yourself. Celestial light shines from the inside out. It represents our conscious relationship with spirit. But see, that illumination requires a spiritual understanding and intuitive knowing that we call the Christ consciousness. In chapter 22 of the Science of Mind textbook, Ernest Holmes talks about finding that celestial light. He talks about finding the Christ within you. He tells us that the highest faculty in man is intuition, and it comes to a point sometimes where, with no reasoning at all, he instantly knows. You all have it. Sometimes we don't use it, and sometimes we don't follow it. You know, they got this modern stuff today, and I use this app called Waze to get you through the heavy traffic. See, if you had hit Waze this morning, you would have went around that accident. But what I found is every time I hit Waze and I'm on my way somewhere and I get to the familiar part of town, I say, well, I know how to get here from here. You know, and there might be a little brief stop in traffic. So I say, Waze messed up. Let me take a turn and go the way that I know to go. Every time I go against the Waze, I end up in a traffic jam for about 20 or 30 minutes. So every time you go against that intuitive knowing, every time it says, no, don't walk down that alley. Every time it says, no, I don't think this person is right for me. And you think you can change them, you end up in another traffic jam. Ernest Holmes goes on to tell us that Christ is the embodiment of divine sonship, which has come with varying degrees of power to all people in all ages and to every person in some degree. So no matter what's going on with you, no matter what's happening around you, no matter how bad you think things are, Christ is within you always at some degree. And that degree is your ability to acknowledge it as yourself. So when you don't think much of you, you don't think much of God. So you better start thinking a little different about yourself. Because God is always there. That celestial light never leaves you. Amen. It is always present. Ernest Holmes goes on to say that Christ is a universal presence. I often have to remind some of my good brothers that Christ is not a person, it's a principle. You see, Jesus is the living embodiment of the Christ consciousness. The only difference between him and you and I is that he surrendered his human will and allowed the greater incarnation of the divine to take its place. See, we surrender every once in a while. We have no problem surrendering to God and to Jesus on Sunday morning. But Monday through Saturday, we want to do it our way. We want to let God go and put ourselves out front because we want the credit for being able to make something happen. You don't need to take credit for anything happening. All you need to do is let that celestial light shine from within to without, and everything you need and want to happen will happen. Jesus demonstrated the love of God through his love for humanity. He went beneath the material surface of creation and found its spiritual cause, that first cause, which is God our Father. He acknowledged spiritual law, and that spiritual law is what gave him his power. You see, the illumination of spirit can only light your pathway to the degree you allow Christ, the Christ mind, to be your mind. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 and 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then Jesus in the 14th verse in 6, 14th chapter, I should say, in 6th verse of John says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except by me. Now you've heard that, I don't know, 10,000 times. But here's the good news. The good news is Christ comes to whoever calls him. You see, Jesus knew that the human must embody the divine, and it manifests as the Christ nature, which is the nature of God. Now, that statement that I read from John 14 that says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. I know many of you who have entered into the new thought realm had many arguments with some of your cousins and aunties and uncles about that statement. Because they tell you that you are a heathen. Because you don't believe that Jesus is the only way. I tell them I'm not a heathen. Because I do believe that Jesus is the only way. But what I believe Jesus was saying is that the only way to salvation was by, I don't believe I should say Jesus was saying, that the only way to salvation was by a particular religious association. What I believe Jesus was saying is that we cannot come to the Father in heaven unless we adopt his nature as our own. The celestial light is the relationship of an intuitive power with the Christ within you. You see, this holiday time that we're in now, this is the time when we go out and spend a whole lot of money, give a whole lot of gifts, eat too much food, drink too much of whatever it is we like to drink. And it's a wonderful time. People tend to be a little nicer this time of year. Everybody's smiling, everybody's saying hello, everybody's wishing you well. But that's just like Sunday morning. Wait till January comes. All of a sudden, those same people that you was living and having supper with and hugging that you hadn't seen in years are going to get on your nerves. That's why during this holiday time, having a party is great. Celebrating the birth of the Christ within you is a wonderful thing. But I encourage people to take this holiday time and use it for some self-reflection. Use this time to connect with the spiritual thinker within you. Proclaim and reflect the light of God that is always shining within you. Come out of the shadow of uncertainty and doubt and step forward into a pathway illuminated by your celestial light. But you know, we're human, as they say. So there are times when we have a hard time finding our spiritual pathway. Sometimes that spiritual mastery is a little hard for us to get an A in class in. But it doesn't mean that when you're having those difficulties that the light is absent. What it means is that your eyes are closed to your spiritual truth. During that time, you know, there was a song when I first started going to Founders that opened my eyes so I can see the fullness of truth. You all remember that one? What that song is telling us is that we need an eye opener. That eye opener that we need is a shot of spirit. But you can't get that shot of spiritual reality from Reverend Jim Beam. Bishop Jack Daniels is not going to give it to you. Nor is the Christian Brothers. That spiritual fuel you need to imbibe is the celestial light. It's a shot of 100 proof, Jesus Christ. You see, our reading from St. John 1, it refers to the beginning. But see, the Genesis refers to the very beginning. St. John refers to a new beginning with our relationship with Christ. That first verse says the Word was in the beginning, and that very Word was God, and God was that Word. It goes on to say that the same was in the beginning was with God. Everything came to be by his hand, and without him, nothing could be created. The life was in him. The life was the light of man. That life is your celestial light. And at that same light, it's always shining, even in darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. That's the thing we have to hold on to. That's what faith is all about. I don't care what happens. Oh, this is a dark hour for America. I know y'all thought that a few years ago. But even in this dark time, the light is about to shine. It's about to shine. Just keep watching. Them dominoes are falling, and pretty soon that big domino is going to fall right along with them. There was a man, that scripture tells us, that was sent from God. His name was John. His name was love. His name was wisdom. His name was mercy. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light so every man might believe by means of him. He was not the light, but a witness to testify concerning it. He was the true light which lighted every man who came into the world. And then I skipped down to verse 17 and said this, that the law was given by Moses, but the truth and grace came into being by Jesus Christ. You see, God chose to reveal himself to the degree that our souls are developed. Remember we talked about getting all that mess out of the way and getting all that junk out of our soul? If you're wondering why that celestial light isn't shining brightly within you, it's because you got some stuff blocking the beam. You can take the most powerful spotlight in the world and turn it on, but if you cover the lens of the light, nothing is going to come forth. So your soul has to be developed, and to the degree that it is, that's the degree that your light is shining. That scripture tells us that only God, whatever you call it, first cause, the creative power, the Big Bang, the evolution of spirit to matter, it possesses the ability to become all things. As God created all things, you have that same access to the wisdom and understanding to create a life that you can imagine. The power is available to you even in your darkest hour. You see, God extends that capacity of mercy, compassion, and meekness in preparation for us to receive the celestial light. St. John the Baptist declares that he is not the light, but he bears witness to that light. He promoted the spiritual cleansing of our mind. That's why they called him the Baptist, because baptism is the spiritual cleansing of your mind. The baptism is the first step in your realization that the celestial light is your spirit of truth. The baptism symbolizes the denial of limited thoughts that encumber and darken your understanding. He represents the intellectual transformation that must precede spiritual consciousness, which is the celestial light of Jesus. Now, if you continue to read beyond verse 9 and you get through 10 through 16, it tells us something like this. It says that the light of the world, those with external consciousness, those who are stuck in this material understanding cannot see that light. It tells us, if we read further, that those who believe, those who have faith, those who trust in the law, those who exemplify the nature of that law can accomplish a greater life. They can realize their true self. It goes on to say that if we live by spiritual principle, if we control the desires of the flesh, we can achieve a new life in Christ. Then verse 14 says, God's original idea became influenced by physical attraction. Y'all remember that? In that garden, the original idea was whole, perfect, and complete. But we got caught up on what it looked like. That physical attraction. But when we find a higher state of spiritual consciousness, we're able to experience the redeeming powers of Jesus. John said that he would come after me, but his truth existed from the beginning. So Jesus came after John, but the Spirit of God that Jesus represents was there where? In the very beginning, when we said what? Let there be light. And through the grace of Jesus Christ, we have the power to regenerate our spiritual body. That last statement, Moses gave us law, and Jesus gave us truth. Moses represents the law that draws out everything that opposes our spiritual freedom. Moses instigates that self-reflection that I was talking about. See, he's pointing out what you better not do, letting you know you're doing wrong when you should be doing right. But Jesus is the divine understanding and expression of that law. Jesus is the I am. He's our spiritual, our true spiritual identity. So instead of being self-reflection, Jesus is a self-regeneration. The strength of God originates in spirit. Our spiritual expression becomes our physical manifestation. Your celestial light will shine its brightest in the midst of your darkest hour. You see, Jesus does his best work in your darkest hour. You see, many believe that Jesus was born at night. Most of your Christmas carols, oh, holy night, star. You know, those wise men couldn't have seen the star in the daytime. So you see, Jesus does his best work when you need him the most. And the Bible gives us two clear examples of what Jesus can do for you. You know, sometimes the feminine side of us, you know, that emotional side of us gets out of control. And the Bible talks about a young lady. Her name was Mary Magdalene. There's somebody that was truly in their darkest hour. They said she had seven, not one, seven demons to cast out. Those seven demons means that she was misguided. And she needed to rise from that misguided understanding to a divine understanding. She needed to be released from the bondage of all of her emotional errors. Her soul needed to be purified and lifted up. The body consciousness needed to receive the wealth of spiritual substance and love. And she developed a deep feeling and consciousness in her soul when she made the decision to totally dedicate her life to the Christ idea. So you see, I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care what you've done. If you make a decision to devote yourself to the idea of celestial light, to the idea of Christ that is born in you, you'll be good to go, as they say. You will have no more issues. After she made that decision, she wasn't like us. She just wasn't a Sunday go-to-meeting kind of girl. She stuck to his side and went everywhere he went. She was there when they cut him down, and she was there when they raised him up. That's called dedication. And I'm not going to let you brothers off the hook, because there was a brother named Lazarus. You know, sometimes our egos get out of control too. They say Lazarus was dead to his spiritual truth. His material selfishness had devitalized his spiritual body. He was held captive by his carnal desires. Lazarus was tormented by the lack of spiritual knowledge. Then Jesus showed up and gave him a little sympathy and unconditional love. But the key is, Lazarus was ready to accept that sympathy and unconditional love. And he demonstrated a faith that removed the stone that entombed his spiritual power. You see, Lazarus was raised when he accepted a new life in Christ. That celestial light that we talk about is the radiance of Jesus. Mary Magdalene and Lazarus realized that the celestial light within themselves would make them whole. And all they had to do is what we're going to do in another week. All they had to do was celebrate Christmas. All they had to do to celebrate the birth of union and of union, and a union, I should say, of wisdom and love coming together. All they had to do was celebrate an opportunity to gain spiritual knowledge and power. All they had to do was celebrate the realization of your true potential. All they had to do was give birth to the Christ within themselves. And once they gave birth to the Christ within themselves, then all we need is the faith to allow our intuitive spirit to guide us. All we need to do is have faith in that celestial light and not try to use our own little portable flashlight to get around with. You see, when we celebrate Christmas, instead of just giving gifts, we need to accept your spiritual gifts of substance, transformation, and eternal life. We need to embrace and embody and express the celestial light, because when we embrace and embody and express that celestial light, it allows you to celebrate the universal and inclusive Christ. Then you won't just spend Christmas Day or Christmas time. You'll spend every day celebrating goodwill and helping others, which is a tenet of the Hindu religion, by the way. You'll spend all your time doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, which is the first and primary tenet of those who study Judaism. You'll spend your time safeguarding human welfare and opposing evil, which is the main tenet my brother, who was the national secretary of the Nation of Islam, taught me as a child. Then we'll practice virtue. We'll show good conduct. And we'll have only moral behavior. Those of you who chant in Buddhism know what I'm talking about. Then we can be good Christians. I know y'all are New Thought folk, but you consider yourself New Thought Christians. And when you're a good Christian, then you can love your neighbor as you love yourself, as you love God. That light, that celestial light, will shine from the inside out. So it won't matter what happens to you. It won't matter that your world gets turned upside down. Because just that came, that angel that came to John in the book of Revelations, an angel will come to you and direct you where? Down that celestial light. And that path of celestial light will lead you right back to the original creation that God had designed for your life. But first, we have to think a little better about ourselves. We have to get a new understanding of who we are and what we are and why we exist. So we get a new mind, a brand new idea of ourselves, just like the scarecrow. But even with a new mind, even with a new understanding of ourselves, sometimes when we do our best to follow that light, we get a little hard on ourselves. We get a little rigid in our attitude. We become a little squeaky in our understanding. We need a little oil of love and wisdom and devotion to drink our bodies. We need a new heart space. We need to do what God does every day, show a little grace and a little mercy. So when we show that grace and we show that mercy, then we're able to get back on that celestial light that's guiding us back home. But with all the love and mercy of God in our hearts, with even a new understanding in our mind, oftentimes we still get scared. Oftentimes we get like I was that day I left my job and didn't know how I was going to make it. We stand on a corner and we tremble. I'm not ashamed to tell you, I was almost crying. I was in tears, wondering if I was going to be able to pay my bills. But somebody came by and gave me a little courage. Somebody showed up just at the right time and said, "Good morning, how are you? Isn't this a wonderful day?" And I realized if I can get a word of encouragement from a man who didn't even have his legs on his body, that I can keep on moving down this celestial pathway. So once I was able to conquer my fear, once I was able to embrace myself with love, once I was able to get a new thought of myself, then I was able to get to the pathway of the kingdom of heaven that was designed for me. And all I had to do then was allow a good preacher to stand before me and give me a word of encouragement and grab me by the hand and lead me home. And he turned out to be a charlatan. Couldn't take me nowhere. But because I had a new idea of myself, because I had love in my heart, because I had eliminated all my fear and all my doubt, I could stand on the faith in that Christ idea. I could stand on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I gave myself over to that celestial light, I ended up right back where I always started. I ended up right back from which I began, which was in the beginning. There was a celestial light. God bless you.